Hello and welcome to Brothers Less Grim. I am Jeff, with me is Mark.
Hello.
And if you like not drowning, then you are in the right place. On every episode of our show, we improvise one story. We do this by playing the card game Once Upon a Time. Important to note, we play with our own set of house rules. If you would like to know exactly what those are, then I'd recommend going back and listening to episode zero. For this episode, we have a content warning. There are references to child abuse. As for the story itself, it's great. We have a story about people who are in pain, who are looking for a fresh start, and along the way, we learn that rich people have feelings. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy Warmth Amid the Cold. It's nighttime. It's cold. There's icebergs around. We got the Titanic sinking in the background, and we have a bunch of people in a life raft, and they are drifting away from the Titanic. And we got a mix of rich people, a couple poor people, and then I'm gonna say there's a kid clutching a book. And it's a kind of blank, I'll say red cover book. No pictures, no title. Could be a diary, might not be, hard to say. He's clutching the book, he's shivering. He's a little bit wet. I guess he got soaked during the sinking. And one of the wealthy gentlemen leans down and asks the child where his parents are. And the kid's just there, sitting, clutching his book, staring forward with his teeth chattering. He does not answer the wealthy man. And I will pass it over to you. Mark, what do you know about the Titanic?
It sunk.
We are in great shape then. Mm-hmm. I saw Raft. I was like, oh man, I can play the Raft guard and we can do some Titanic stuff. And
it wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be unsinkable.
It was supposed to be unsinkable.
Okay.
And then it sank like right away, didn't it?
It sunk on its maiden journey, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like.
Yeah, its very first.
It wasn't like immediately out of port. Like they had a couple of. They had enough time for James Cameron to do like other storylines.
Yeah. Like, I guess. I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen the movie? Through.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the movie.
I feel like I've seen the very end when it all goes, like, the ship goes down, but I know I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing. Which is also my relationship with the movie The Departed.
You've not seen The Departed? Oh, you've seen bits and pieces of The Departed.
I think I've seen enough of The Departed where I think I've seen it all, just like not in order.
Yeah, that one ends up on TV a lot.
Yeah.
Titanic, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the rich man, like once again, the wealthy man once again asks, like, kid, boy, where are your parents? And one of the poorer people is just like, leave the kid alone, okay? He's not answering you for a reason. And the wealthy man's like, by George, or whatever wealthy people say.
Who knows what they say? I don't.
I don't know. It's like, I've never been spoken to as such. And it's like, listen, just... the Titanic just sunk. Like, he's freezing. He doesn't want to talk about his parents, right? He doesn't want to talk to you right now. Just come on. If you want to do anything for him, just give him your coat. And the wealthy man just like he looks down at his coat.
It's cold.
Like, it's a nice coat. It's like, well, either leave the kid alone or give him your coat. And the wealthy man,
I feel like there's other options here.
Looks around.
I feel like you're reducing the number of options in a way that's not fair to me.
the wealthy man. I'm going to have him relent, and he does give the child.
Oh, he's a big softy.
Yeah. And they all kind of get quiet. They look at the stars. And once again, the wealthy man, I think he has a hard time with extended silence. So maybe they've only been quiet for like 15 seconds. And the wealthy man is just like, well, you know, I was born on the wealthy side of London. My name is...
Scots was the name I was thinking of. Just like the Scots. Plural of Scott. I think that's a silly name.
Yes. My name is Scots, by the way. I figured since we'll be stuck on this raft together, we might as well get to know each other. So I was born to a wealthy family. We actually have roots to the nobility. I believe that you may have heard of the Duke of Essex. That is actually my grandfather. And so I was raised quite well. Learned all of the classics, your Shakespeare's, your Milton's.
Who's Milton?
John Milton wrote Paradise Lost.
I'm not familiar with it. Heard the title, but
it's an epic poem about the fall of about original sin and the fall of Satan. It's actually pretty good.
Okay,
but very old timey English. Anyway, your Aristotle's. Oh, did I enjoy that Don Quixote? What a goof! What a goof that man, Don Quixote, and. Everyone's
I like to call him Don Quixote, you know, like a donkey. I don't know. It's just a funny little thing I do.
Everyone's just staring at him, like staring daggers at him. But at Don Quixote, what is that what you said?
Yep, Don Quixote.
Don Quixote, the kid with the book kind of giggles at that. And that just makes Scott's all the happier. Just like, haha, you do. He lives. What a sense of humor, and with a sense of humor too. And he starts really getting into his very well educated, wealthy background. And I will pass it to you there.
So he just starts doing Shakespeare. It's just like, I will keep you and all entertained. I'm a man of culture, and. Are going to be doing Romeo and Othello. That's not right. Hold on. Julius, Romeo and Julius. That's right. Okay. So here we go. We got Mercutio, and he's hanging out with Tybalt. Okay. You know what, this one doesn't really, it's one of those Shakespeare plays that's kind of better if you read it. I don't know. Maybe it's not as good performed. I'll do a different one. And he just starts kind of like making up his own quasi-Shakespeare thing, trying to just keep the mood light, you know. And the kid actually kind of enjoys it. He sees the wealthy man being a goofball. And... He laughs particularly hard at a Don Quixote joke because it was a callback. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves callbacks, especially the kid. And the wealthy man really nailed that one. So kid laughs at the donkey joke and he pipes up and he says, my parents weren't on the ship. And I'm just gonna pass it over to you right there.
At that, Scott stops what he was doing, and everyone kind of looks at the kid, not staring daggers at him. Everyone's got a lot softer looks, and the poor person who kind of like told Scott to leave the kid alone this time is the one to ask, well, where are your parents? And the kid just kind of looks down at that. And the person, did you say their gender at all?
Who? I don't think so. I think okay. Scott's is a man. And
Scott's is a man. I'm going to have this person be a woman.
This is the poor person?
Yeah.
Is the kid a boy?
I don't know.
Have we been saying he?
We might have.
We can leave it open, though, because we haven't named the child, and we don't really know.
No.
He can be gender neutral when we're still sketching things out.
Sure, yeah. And so she is just puts her hands on the kid's shoulders, like, where are your parents? And the kid doesn't make eye contact with her. And at that point, Scott kind of softly puts his hand on the woman's shoulder. And and then she does not like that at all. And just, like, kind of shakes it off. And then goes back to her corner of the raft. And says, like, I don't care. I don't want comfort from you, Scots. And Scots is just like, what's your name, fine lady? And she's like, my name is Julia. And she's like, what's bringing you to leave Mother England and go to the new colonies? And she's just like, they've been free for like 130 years, I think.
Yeah, like what year did this happen?
I think the Titanic happened like
1900s,
first,
I want to say.
I think like the first few years of the 1900s. I want to say it was like 1903 or something, but I'm not around there. So it's like,
I don't actually know. Yeah, but somewhere around there feels about right.
They haven't been colonies in generations. It's like, oh.
Yeah, let's see.
You know, my great-grandfather once owned quite the plot of land in Pennsylvania. Yeah. William Penn was his name, actually. And Scott's like, but enough about me. My dear lady, why are you going? What's causing you? It's like, listen, I'm not like you, Scott. I didn't have everything. I've only gotten here through hard work, okay? And I am just trying to get to the new world so I can start over again. And just like, again, what does that mean? And she sits down and kind of pouts. And it's like, I don't want to talk about it. And Scott's just like, well, you know, you don't have to talk about anything you don't want to, but I'm sure Don Quixote would enjoy hearing your story. And he kind of like elbows the kid a little bit, but even the kid doesn't think that one was funny. He thought that one was
just
forced.
Feels forced. Just
yeah, just like the kid says as much. It's like that one was a bit forced. And Scott's just like looks down in absolute dread. Just like collapses, yeah. He just collapses onto the floor, is crestfallen, as you said, and just like, all right, I shall retire for a moment. And he sits down, and like 6 seconds later, and is just like, but perhaps a story from, I don't know, perhaps another Shakespeare play, one from King Lear and the great Merchant of Venice. And I'll pass it to you there.
So the great King Lear, as we all know, was best friends with the Merchant of Venice. So when King Lear was dying, he decided to bring in the Merchant of Venice. And he said, hey, I have daughters, I think, and they should be in the story as well. So go out into the kingdom and please find my daughters and bring them to me, okay? I'm going to take a nap because I am King Lear. And that's like basically the first act. It says, Scott's, wait, how are you doing his voice? Like, it's kind of like, jolly good show with Simon Scott's.
By George,
from Scott's. Okay, I feel like, that's close, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's Scots.
Yeah, he's kind of like jovial. He's like, hey, I'm Scots. Okay, that's basically the first act, everybody. It's really good. Just wait until I remember the second act. It's gonna knock your socks off. And he looks down, and the child is actually not wearing socks or shoes. Poor little ragamuffin child. And he's like, oh, I can't tell if that's actually, if the joke is funnier now, or if it's sad and mean because you don't have socks. I'll just keep talking until it's funnier or something, or we forget about it. What were we talking about? Let's see. Oh,
how,
right.
How I the wanted... kid doesn't have any clothes.
Well,
no, that's what it is.
That's it then. All right. Hey, where are your shoes, young child? Are they with your parents? We still haven't established where your parents are. I'm still curious about it, young child. Does it have something to do with that book you're clutching? Did you steal that from your parents? Is that King Lear? I have questions. But first, a story. There once was a rich prince from long ago. This is a Scots original, just by the way, heads up everybody. This one's for me. This one's straight off the dome. Okay, here we go. There once was a rich prince, and more than anything in the world, he wanted to be friends with all of his subjects, but they didn't want to be friends with him, and they didn't laugh at any of his Don Quixote jokes, because he was so rich. So then, like, one day, he went up to his subjects, and he said, just because I'm rich doesn't mean that I don't have feelings. I'm just like all of you. And then they lived happily ever after. And then he looks at, you named her, didn't you? Oh, Julia. He looks at Julia and is kind of like, huh? Powerful story. Maybe you like me now? And Julia, like, she was already kind of giving him the cold shoulder, but now she, like, doubles down on it. So it's like I'm drowning in frozen waters from the sinking of the Titanic shoulder. Like, it's an extra cold shoulder. So, yeah, she's still not happy. The kid sees this and kind of chuckles at Julia not, like, giving Scott's the cold shoulder. Scott's initially thinks that he's getting laughs, like the kid's laughing with him. So he looks over and smiles. And then the kid gives Scott's the cold shoulder as well. He's copying Julia. He's not, like, angry. He's just kind of being a little child, giving Scott's the cold shoulder. Okay, I will pass it over to you.
Scott is... He's taken aback by that. And he sits back down. And I'm going to have another rich person on the rafters.
Yeah, there's probably like a bunch of people in here.
Yeah, because I think you said there was, I got the sense there was more than three.
Yeah, I think 20 would be about right.
Yeah, I think you said that there was like a fair few of rich people, fewer poor people, and then this kid. So another one of the rich people, just
maybe,
like,
maybe I, 10 to 20. I don't know how big are these life rafts.
We could
10 to 20, 10 to 20, something like that.
10 to 20, yeah. And this other rich person, like, leans over Scott's and says, I thought it was a moving story.
He talks the same way. Yeah. And he thought it was a moving story. That's yeah, that's all great.
And those two start coming, like going down like a whisper route, just like, I think you should write it down.
What poor people don't recognize is that rich people have feelings, you know. The story draws attention to that.
If only they were so. If only they weren't so out of touch, you know? They would see.
Yeah, that they we just have spend feelings. So much time being poor that they don't realize what it's like to be rich. They forget to learn that what it's like to be rich.
And how hard it is. And at this point, I'm going to have the kid kind of move over next to Julia, because it seems like they were connecting. And Julia is just kind of like, hi. And the kid is just like, hi. And I'll pass it to you there.
Okay. This kid says hi. Julie says hi. In that order? That's the right order? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have the kid, his eyes are getting a little droopy at this point. And he just leans his head on Julia's shoulder. And well, or like wherever he can lean his head. It might be her like upper arm. If like she's going to be taller than him. He's a child. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking. It's like, I don't know if he's tall enough to get his head up to her shoulder. But he does like fall asleep and like lean against her. And it's rather adorable. So he's out. He's unconscious. And Scott's looks over at Julian and is like, well, look who's warming up to all of the survivors after all. Huh? It's you. Does Scott know her name?
Julia?
Yeah, does Scott know Julia's name?
I think she said it.
Okay. I don't know. I remember if you named her privately or if she actually said her name.
I think she said her name. And I mean, I don't necessarily know if Scott remembers.
Look who's warming up after all, little Miss Juliet. let's see. And Julia is... I mean, she's just like glares at Scott and is like, I'm not warming up to you. Like, the kid is one thing. You're still just a try-hardy jerk. More like try-hardy than jerk. You seem like you overall mean well, but you're just so out of touch. And you don't remember Shakespeare very well.
Why, I never.
And the story you told had some issues, okay? I'm a journalist. I know a thing or two about writing stories. You had some problems.
I'll have you know that I went to Oxford and studied under the prominent Shakespearean scholar, Billy Beane. That's the guy from Moneyball, isn't it?
That is exactly the guy from Moneyball.
I realized that after I said those fake words.
You didn't do that on purpose?
No.
The thing about Billy Beane is he gets Shakespeare in a way that most other Shakespearean scholars don't.
Really boils it down to the numbers.
Yeah, he takes a real hard look at the numbers. And my accent's all over the place. He looks at the underrated Shakespeare stories.
And your 12 nights.
He talks about how you can read them in a way that makes them as good as the good Shakespearean plays. It's rather exciting stuff.
Have you ever read Richard the Hamlet the Third?
Julia's like, I have not read all that much Shakespeare. I could not afford Billy Bean's courses in Oxford's tuition. I kind of really mostly taught myself journalism. And I gotta say, if Billy Bean taught you plays in Shakespeare and how to tell a story, then he should be ashamed of himself. Because you're kind of a monstrosity. And then the rich guy next to Scott's is like, see, this is what I'm talking about with the feelings thing. She wouldn't have said that if she knew that you had feelings. She called you a monstrosity. That's mean. Scott's like, that is mean. Juliet. Or Romeo. Whatever your name is.
Julia.
Juliet. That was mean. You said a mean thing to me just then, just a second ago when you were talking. What do you have to say for yourself? I will pass it to you.
And Julia says nothing to that. And I mean, she says the word nothing. She's like, I have nothing to say to that. And she turns away, and Scott's kind of has like a lip quiver, like he's about to cry.
I just feel like nothing. You kind of like doubled down on what you said. I thought I was not expecting that to go like that.
And Julia looks down, and the kid's kind of looking up at her, and kind of has some sad eyes himself. And Julia just kind of sighs, and it's like, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, Scott's. And Scott's just like, bully! Like they used to say in the 1900s when that meant good.
Said bully?
Yeah, like okay. Bully used to be like a happy explanation.
Bully!
Bully!
That would have been back when bullies were cool, right?
Scott's thought so. And Julia's just like, can you leave me alone now? And it's like, no, we're just now beginning to build our friendship, Julia. No, he can't see Julia. Marie. He's like, that is the most off so far. And it's just like, so tell me more of your story. You are a self-taught journalist, I hear? That is impressive. And she sighs, and it's like, fine. If it will keep you quiet for a while, I'll tell you my story. And she talks about how she was born in the very poor neighborhoods of London. In a tenant like apartment where they didn't really have windows, and tuberculosis was actually pretty prominent, and say that she lost a sibling to tuberculosis growing up, and she saw how hard her parents had to work in order to just barely get by, and suddenly her mother didn't let her education slide and taught her how to read. She could do that much. And one time she came across the works of, I want to say it's David Rees or some sort of Rees that wrote, was like active in this time period. He might be like, the timing might be a little off, but he was a muckraker photographer based out of New York. And did some photographs of the poverty in New York, and that like actually got into the hands of some powerful people, and that kind of led to some funding of some improved living in New York City. At least that's the narrative that I learned in school. So I'm sure that's why, like, hey, great for rich people. They saved the day. But I haven't like studied.
Rich people sometimes save the day. You know, they have feelings.
Yeah, I don't know the exact stories of all that, but I know that that's a figure that, you know, he's a prominent photographer of the time. And I'm going to have her come across his book that includes his photos that was like circulating. And that's what inspired her to become a journalist.
And she traveled to New York one time to meet him, maybe, or something, or to just go to New York. You said she'd been there before, right?
No, she grew up in London. She might be heading to New York right now to do that, because that's where the Titanic
left. You said again at some point she was like traveling to the colonies again or something earlier in the story. This is like 20 minutes ago or something.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
So sure.
I mean, oof, it's going to be hard for me to... I can't tell you what you said. It's always easier to remember what you said yourself. So
yeah, I don't remember saying
what happened.
I remember him calling it the colonies and saying that they haven't been colonies for 130 years. I don't necessarily remember saying she had been there before. So,
all right. Well, I mean, up to you. What you want to do now? Because
I'm gonna have her just be like, she's heading to New York for the first time in order to become a journalist there.
Cool.
And she had to work and save and do all sorts of things in order to get enough money to get one of the cheapest tickets on the Titanic. And I'm gonna have her like. She tells it quite emotionally, and and a lot better than Scott's tells his stories. And Scott's is moved by the story. I mean, I always knew rich people had feelings, and I always suspected poor people did. And today, I can now confirm that poor people do have feelings.
I just wish there were more stories about poor people having feelings. I would have known by now.
She just gives her a big hug. And Julia's just like, doesn't like that, is kind of squirming in the hug. And the kid also joins the hug. And I will pass it to you there.
Kid joins the hug. And kid, we still haven't established gender on, I don't think.
We've been using he enough that I imagine him as a he now.
I'm going to go with Al. Little Al.
Little Al.
Okay, so Al, he joins the hug. He, when joining the hug, he has his book in one hand, and it gets kind of jostled, and it falls to the floor of the life raft. With a little thud. And Scott's is like, oh, by George, or some whatever rich people say. Let's just look at this. I've been curious about this book this whole time. Now I finally get a chance to look at it. And he snatches it up and looks at the book. And it... What should the book be? I'm going to say it is diary entries from and maybe letters inside as well from a family member who seems to be living in New York. I'm going to go with a grandfather. So the grandfather has been sending letters to this child. And the child has been collecting them all into this book. Cool. And Scott's is like, well, look at all this. This looks fun. I'm going to do a dramatic reading. And the kid's like, no, please don't. Please don't. And Julia's like, hey, stop. The kid said, no, give it back. And Scott's is like, but I am a showman and the show must go on. And I feel like I'm reading the room here. And you guys are saying, no, I think you guys really are feeling the dramatic reading, right? And they're like,
the
no.
Other rich guy's like, I know I am.
This guy knows what I'm talking about. His name is Wesley. And the guy's like, it's not Wesley. Because Scott's is not good with names. This guy knows what I'm talking about. So Scott's, he, I'm going to say, does not know how to read the room. He starts doing a dramatic reading. And you know what? This kid's story sounds pretty sad. You know, this grandfather is telling, you know, sending letters to the kid, giving him advice on how to deal with his parents and learned to love them, even though they make a lot of mistakes and sometimes hurt him. And they just, you know, he needs to like give them chances and like wishes little Al the best. And it's really, it feels pretty tragic. And kid's mortified. Little Al is mortified. Julia's furious. Wesley, whose name's not Wesley, is like, that was great. He applauds. It's like, that was great. Golly, jolly good show, old chap. And Scott's takes a bow and with a smile hands the book back to the child, who snatches it away and kind of like glares at Scott's. Over to you.
All right. And Julia turns to the kid. It's like, hey, you okay, Al? And Al's just kind of quietly crying, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to talk about it. She's like, that's okay. You don't need to talk. Mind if I just sit here? He doesn't say anything to that. So she just kind of sits there and sits and waits. And just like, I couldn't love them. I needed to leave. I tried to do what my grandpa said, but I just couldn't do it. I needed to leave like he did. I needed to go away and go to America and start over. And she was just like, hey, me too. Oh, I know what happened. I said that she's going to America to start over again, suggesting that she's had multiple times to restart her life.
Okay.
Yeah. But that not necessarily moving. Like,
yeah, I just heard like, the word again because I was probably thinking about what I was going to do on my next turn. I was just like, wait, again? Interesting.
Yeah. So that's what happened there. And so she's just like, that's okay. I get it. I'm starting over for not even the first time. Like I didn't tell everything with that journalist story. That makes it seem like more of a through line, but I ran away from home too. And then tried to make it on my own and couldn't, and moved back in. I'm not even sure if my parents fully realized that I left, you know. Except my mom, she noticed pretty quick. Actually, you know, now that I'm talking myself into this hole, I really wasn't like that at all. I think I ran away for like an afternoon, and the kid just kind of laughs at that. Like, she tried to be helpful, and then it was really like, nope, that's not relatable at all. And the kid's just like, that's pretty funny. I appreciate the effort here. And she's just like, you know what? I don't understand what you're going through at all with this. But I trust that you are making the best decision. And I support you in that, even if I can't relate to it all the way. Scott's is just like, hears that and is like, well, I must say, I relate to you entirely, boy. I feel your pain. And then tells like some weird story about like, I don't know, a servant giving him the wrong like napkin or something very trivial. And Al can't help but laugh at the absurdity of that, and and Scott's is just like, so you must understand.
Got him back. Got him back.
Yeah, he is overjoyed that the kid's laughing. And this is like, so you see, you and I, not so different, despite our vast differences in wealth. And I will pass it to you then.
And attractiveness, but, you know, not everybody can be as handsome as me.
You'll grow into it, maybe.
Possibly, you know. We'll have to get you some shoes and socks first, you know.
And he loses Owl again with that.
Yeah. But it's, yeah. All right, should we look at endings?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
All right, what do you got?
One that I don't see how it would work, and the other that it like could work, but it's like it's fine. It's not like. What about you?
Let's see. I mean, they're like tangential. I mean, one of them, I think, is a better prospect. Because, like, all that needs to happen for one of my endings is for Julia to predict something, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, it has the word rich on it, which I like, but the rest of it's kind of not related. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll just have Julia make a prediction, and then we'll see what's happening from there.
Okay. And then I actually have my one that I think could work. The more I look at it, the more it seems like it could work.
Yeah.
But.
All right. So we left off at Scott's had just made a joke that Al did not like.
That doesn't sound right, does it? Our Scott's?
Our Scott's. He's. He's a hilarious guy. He's a showman. He's a performer. The show must go on, says Scott.
Even when it's bad.
So, my young lad, Al. I think I couldn't help but notice when I read from that book of yours, a letter from your grandfather. Everybody got sad, but shortly after that, I got everybody kind of back on my side. So I can't help but feel like reading from the book is the key. So any chance you'd let me read from the book again, you know, just I'll give it a little bit of a flair. Maybe it won't seem so sad if your old buddy Scott's is saying it, you know, we'll work through your issues. Together, I'll talk about my feelings. I can talk about my manservant giving me the plain white napkin when I wanted specifically requested the frilly white napkin. So I can try to relate to you. And Julia says, Scott, you gotta back off, man. If you don't back off, then you're gonna end up in a world of hurt, my man. You need to learn how to read a room, or you're always going to be just kind of like drowning. You know what I mean? And drowning in a way like I'd rather be outside drowning in ice water than drowning the way that you drown in social situations. It's terrifying to me. Like, you have no empathy for other people. All you think about is telling jokes, getting everybody to like you. And it's disgusting. And yeah, like I said, you need to get it together. Learn how to read other people, or you're just going to keep drowning.
And he just kind of lip quivers again.
It's just like, I kind of liked it better when you called me a monstrosity. That felt what? Less personal. This feels really
Why, I never.
You just like stabbed me right in the heart with your that journalist tongue of yours. You just like used your tongue to like stab me in the heart. With words. I guess it's more like words than your tongue. Tongue makes it sound like you're licking me, which sounds rather pleasant, to be honest. But no, this was unpleasant. You used a word spear to stab me. I should be a poet. This is some good stuff. Wesley, write some of this down. Word spear. That's a powerful image, don't you think? Wesley's even kind of like... He's... I'm going to say Wesley gets up and he goes and he tries to sit down next to Julia. So he's like, I don't know, man. Word spear? It's not a great metaphor. So he gets up and he goes and he tries to sit down next to Julia. And Julia does not make room for him. So he ends up sitting back down next to Scott's. But their relationship is ruined at this point. It's like Scott's looks at Wesley and is like, I thought we had something, Wesley. You were,
my name is Weatherby.
You were my friend. You were my life raft. On the life raft of life after the Titanic sunk. Write some of that down, Wesley. I think that could make a good poem. Wesley gives him the cold shoulder. I will pass it to you.
Scott's is just sitting there alone, wallowing. It's just like, oh. And Julius just turns to Al. He nods at her. He rests his head back against her arm. And falls asleep. And Julia, she's a curious little spirit. I mean, she's going to be a journalist. And the book is just right there. And she hated that Scott's did that to Al and performed the book, the letter. And he's not even that good of an actor, but she was definitely intrigued by Al's story. And she could not help herself in this moment. And she reaches for the book and starts reading the book of letters from the grandfather. And there's a lot in there. It's only the grandfather's letters, so it's not like she can really
save his own letters. They get sent to New York.
Exactly. That's how the mail works. We all know this. But like she's having to piece together what he might be saying to the grandfather based off of the responses. And it's just, you know, depicting a bad situation at home and seems to be getting worse year by year. The last letter that the grandfather had sent was a while ago, and it was saying, it said things just like, I don't think coming to New York would be the best option. Things aren't necessarily good here either. Like, where I'm barely getting, I barely have room for myself. I'd love to see you, but it's not an easy road here either. I don't want you to think that you'll find anything here. You'll find, I just don't think it would be a good idea for you to come here. And that's the last letter, said more eloquently than that. And she closes the book at that point, and I'll pass it to you then.
Okay. So, I think we're gonna exit the life raft at this point.
Okay.
So they all get picked up by rescue people. Rescue ships. They end up, you know, getting blankets and getting some food. And they all kind of end up going... Well, no, they might all end up kind of near each other in a rescue boat. But I think, you know, once they get back... I think the rescue boat would take them back to London. Wait, where did the Titanic crash? It might not be actually about that.
I think they got taken to New York, or like America still.
Okay. Well, that's actually better than London anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, they hit an iceberg, so that would have been up in the Arctic, I guess. Or like maybe not quite that far up, but...
I don't think quite that far up.
This is just the cold northern waters.
Yeah.
Okay, but they got taken to New York. But
I think they got taken to America. I'm not sure exactly where in America, but I think they
get taken to New York, and this rescue boat's like, you guys want to go to New York? Let's go to New York.
Hey, it's like some like weirdly modern party Americans, like dude bros.
Hey, what's up, our immigrants? America's just a big melting pot, and we can't be more excited. Couldn't be more excited that you're coming to join us. We love immigrants.
Shotgun this bud with us.
Shotgun this bud with us, dudes.
They throw them some Budweisers and just like chug it all in one go. And it's like, that's American pride and joy right there. Woo!
And they fly off some fireworks. Like, yeah, rescue mission.
Shoot off some guns.
Yeah, just randomly fire guns. They're just like shooting dolphins and stuff. Just like, oof. I don't know how I feel about that. It feels like we're doing the bison thing again. We're just like shooting things that don't need to be shot out here.
What if, hear me out, we give the dolphins some guns. That way they have guns too. That way we can shoot them no problem. I love the way you think. They throw some guns overboard and then shoot some dolphins.
Yeah, they throw a gun overboard and it like hits a dolphin in the head and it like squeals in pain. And then they shoot it. He started it. He was reaching for something.
I feel no moral ambiguity there. And they just high five.
Ooh. Yeah. I am drunk. Somebody tell the captain that I'm drunk, or somebody tell the captain like steer the ship. Or the point is like he's the captain. That was the joke.
You are the captain.
You're the captain. No. Sweet.
Well, then you better catch up to me, midshipman.
Yeah, and then like Scott comes up to this and is like, I feel like I'm getting upstaged a little bit, and I'm not okay with this. So I'm gonna tell the story of a princess. Okay, long ago there was a princess who wanted to be friends with the king. The princess was poor. Where's Julia? I want to be telling the story in front of Julia because it's gonna be kind of about her. I wanted to call her a princess to be nice, but I want to make it clear that the princess is poor. Okay? And she's also kind of mean. But, like, it's cool, though. Because deep down, she means well. I think Julia's gonna... Or Juliet or Miriam is going to appreciate this story. The captain's just, like, gives Scott a beer. And it's like, I like America.
I love your accent, man.
That's... I like it. Thank you. Thank you. No one's ever said that to me before.
I can't tell what you're saying, but I love that you're talking.
I feel warm inside. I've never felt this way before.
But Americans are friendly.
Hello, I am Scott. What are we doing? Can I shoot a dolphin too?
For sure, Scott. Hey, this is my buddy Scotty.
I'm going to pass it to you. So they're on the rescue boat. You already know that. I don't need to recap anything. You just pass it to you.
So Julia and Al are on the rescue boat. They are, like, they can hear in the distance someone yelling, this is my boy Scotty. And then, like, they're shooting guns. And he's like, by George, shooting dolphins is fun. but I feel bad about it at the same time. And the just like sounds of high fives. And Julia's just like, looks like we're gonna make it to New York after all. And I was just like, yeah, it's gonna be good. Just like, what do you think you're gonna do there? And it's just like, I don't know. I guess I'll try to find my grandfather, my long lost grandfather. And she's just like, and if that doesn't necessarily work out, what do you think you're gonna do? And I was like, what do you mean? Why wouldn't it work out? And Julia says like, well, I don't know. It's like, he's my grandfather. Of course he'll take me in. And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, why would you say that? Why wouldn't, he take me in? And eventually, like, I was a smart kid. He's just like, did you go through the book?
He figures it out.
Figures out, like, did you read my letters? And she's like, no, well, yes. And I saw the last one. And I was just like, I don't care what that letter said. He's gonna take me in. He's the only one that still loves me. And just like, what? Listen, I just don't want you to necessarily get your hopes up and run off. And at that, funnily enough, that's exactly what Al does at that moment. He runs away from Julia. And he's running through the ship, kind of crying. And, you know, the Scots is with the Americans. They've given him a cowboy hat.
Well, I like this. It's like wide, but it's nice. I like this hat. Let's see what the fuss is about.
It can hold up to 5 gallons, you say? My lord. You know, I hear my country is moving over to the metric system. We use liters now. And at that point, the American's just like, the metric system's stupid. And he's just taken aback by that. It's like, he's like, oh, but can't lose another friend. He's like, of course, the metric system is ridiculous.
Totally. Yeah. That's my opinion on the matter as well.
I think quarts and ounces are the only way to accurately measure all fluids. And then one of them was like, well, here's 12 fluid ounces right here. And they throw another beer. And he's just like, I love it here. And then he sees Al running off with his book, crying. And he has a moment. He's just like, of self-reflection and, dare I say, empathy. And it's just like, what's going on? By George, what's going on with Albert there? And he's like, excuse me, my American friends. And they're just like, he leaves and all the Americans are looking at each other and they're just like, hey, if we're all here, who's driving the ship? And they just, like, a few of them drop their beers and, like, run to the...
There's, like, a dude with a dolphin coat up there. Check it out, guys! It's a new style.
Ooh! That is...
It's you gruesome.
You make that better. You make that better. A bird hat. A hat made out of birds.
I'm thinking pelican? What do you guys think? You feeling pelican?
I think whatever we can shoot. I like the way this guy thinks. And Scott's catches up to Al, and I will pass it to you there.
So he goes up to Al, and he's like, Al, I noticed that you're crying. And as a human being with empathy and, and a real desire to not lose friends now that I know what it feels like to have friends, I care about you, Al. And I want you to know that I care about you. And I see that you're crying. I wanted to mention, I'm sorry that I read your your letters from your grandfather earlier. I didn't really know how to read the room at that point. As much as I hate to say it, what's your face was correct.
But she doesn't have to be so mean she about this.
I was drowning in a desire for affection. And it was painful, and it led me to hurt others such as yourself, and I'm sorry for that, and I hope you could forgive me. And little Al hugs Scots. Scots looks up and sees that Julia is there. She overheard this little speech because she ran after Al, trying to apologize herself. And we have this little moment, and Scots gives Julia a nod. It's like, hey, you're right about me. Julia's like, wow, you've come a long way, Scots. You might not
20 minutes.
You might be okay after all. And I guess I'll just say it here. So the woman's prophecy had been fulfilled. Scott's got himself together. And that is Warmth Amid the Cold. Do you have any thoughts on the story?
You know, I think one thing that's really interesting about this story is we tell the story of Julia and Al, who have very intense, serious lives, through the lens of Scott's, the least serious narrator.
This is true. This is a thought that I had as well. We have three main characters. Mm-hmm. Kid who's fleeing his abusive parents, putting his hopes on something that might not work out, is his grandfather. We have the journalist who couldn't afford a proper education, lost a sister to disease, tuberculosis, and she's had to restart her life more than once. But we focus on Scott's, who has trouble connecting to people because he's so rich. I feel like we made the right call.
I think, like, Julia gave Scott's one of the most scathing cutdowns of any character that we have ever done in one of our stories.
Which one are you talking about? She eviscerated him a couple times.
A couple times, but the one that, like, got me is just, like, something to the effect is, like, all you think about is jokes, which is why you will never actually have a conversation with people. You will be drowning in every social moment.
Yeah, that one hits me.
it hits me too.
A little close to home.
it felt personal.
Which, I mean, I wasn't thinking that at the time, but listening to it as a neutral observer, neutral, I guess, just listening to it after the fact, it's like, oh man, that.
I think that's something you and I both often do.
I might have to go back and re-listen to that again.
Yeah, it's just like, it almost felt like, I think you were the storyteller in that moment, right?
Yeah, I was setting up the ending, because this was essentially her prediction.
Yes, and it just kind of felt like you were yelling at me.
I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't mean it. I was yelling at Scott.
It was all, and this is just the Alan way.
Yeah. I don't think that we're quite as bad as Scott's.
No. I think you and I are both way more emotionally capable than...
So, but yeah, all you think about is making jokes. That line does stick out as, like, wait, is that a bad thing? So, hey, Mark, I think I'm ready to hear about what's happening next time.
Next time, a family arrives home from vacation to find their garden is missing.
Oh no.
Yeah, and all sorts of hijinks will ensue.
All right, well, for now, let's say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.